Okay, I have started recording. I will mute myself and turn off my video, and you can go ahead.
Great, thank you. I am also going to record on my computer just for peace of mind.
Recording in progress.
Okay, so we're talking about this school board meeting on Monday where they passed Plan C, which you are familiar with, as you just shared. Were you surprised when they made this decision?
I'm beginning to worry that things don't surprise me anymore. I've been in this position for 5 months as the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin, and considering we are the statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights and political advocacy organization, we are very needed right now, and I am in partnership with GSAFE. We have been filing these Title IX complaints, and we're not surprised, but we are disappointed by these actions by school boards.
Yeah. And can you tell me about gender support plans? Is this something all schools have? Are they always this restrictive?
It's a good question. The district is calling this a gender support plan, and I want to be very clear that that is not what it is. Gender support plans should always be about creating safety for a child, and the best practices in a gender support plan, which many districts do have, is to ensure the safety of the child by working with the kid to figure out how to best talk to parents and then bring them into conversations. It's really a bridge. It's what good schools and smart administrators do about so many topics that are potentially uncomfortable or scary. They create that bridge to bring families together in a place where the students feel supported and the families have access to resources that they need so that they can have a conversation that everyone is really ready for. But this policy would force that conversation before everyone might be ready for it or have the needed supports to really make it meaningful and make it safe and make it effective as a conversation. And so gender support plans are really designed to do that, and that is not what this does.
So tell me about some of the impacts that a plan like this does have on transgender students, but also just the whole student population.
Thanks for asking. I think one of the things we always have to keep in mind is that any kind of policy that is specifically about, for example, the LGBTQ plus community or about trans or non-binary students impacts those students, but it also impacts the entire school community. Because policies that are about safety for LGBTQ plus children and staff are really about creating safety for all students and staff. Creating safe and welcoming learning environments are how we get high achieving kids. And these kinds of restrictive policies that target a certain group then also just create less and less safety for everyone involved. I also think it's important that we keep in mind that our kids are listening when we're having conversations about these policies and when we're talking about the people that they are impacting. And so our trans and non-binary kids are hearing the language that we use, and so are their peers. And we really have to pay attention to the kind of language that we're using and the kind of policies that we're passing to make sure that they are supportive of every single kid. If you'd like, I could drill down a little bit to this particular policy. One of the things that really sticks out to me about this policy is that I think it actually takes away the rights of parents because it prioritizes only the rights of certain parents. One of the things that struck me is there's a scenario and that this new policy would allow that a student who would want to go by a different name and pronouns that the parents agree with and affirm their own child's gender identity, it is written and it would be written into their own gender support plan under this policy. Well, that policy now says that school staff may use the pronouns, but it doesn't say that they have to. So this scenario in a policy that purports to be about parental rights is actually a policy that could ignore the plan written by supportive, affirming parents within the school. And I think that that's really problematic. And we have to remember that real gender support plans and real policies about creating safe learning environments are about the safety of all kids and the safety of trans kids, and the way this policy is written would compromise that.
And you mentioned that in the past 5 months since you've been in this role, there's been an increase of debate over gender politics. It's become a political issue. What do you think is driving that?
I wish someone would ask that question to people who are doing the ugly things as opposed to all of us who are receiving them, because it's a question I've been asked a few times, actually. I just, my response is always that we have to remember that we're talking about people and not issues. The LGBTQ plus community is being turned into an issue against our will. And we really have to keep centering the humanity of the people that are most impacted here. And it is discouraging to see the rhetoric, but it also is encouraging to see so many people really standing up for our trans and non-binary family members within the community and within our allied communities.
Yeah. So what are organizations like yours, like Fair Wisconsin, doing to challenge these policies?
Great question. So Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE, which is a partner organization of ours that does incredible LGBTQ plus safety and advocacy work within schools across the state. We have at this point filed 5 joint federal civil rights complaints with the United States Department of Education in support of our trans and non-binary students and staff in 5 different districts. They are all districts that have taken votes that we say are fostering hostile environments in violation of Title IX. They've done it all in sort of different ways. Some have made really anti-trans, really transphobic, really dehumanizing statements during public meetings as school board members. Some have made votes to actively sort of delete out the words gender identity from the Title IX policies within their school board policies. And so we have filed these federal civil rights complaints to make sure that they get back into compliance with Title IX and stop fostering this this very hostile environment at the district level. Because Title IX prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, and that includes discrimination on the basis of gender identity. The regulations that made clear that that is included went into effect on August 1st of this year. But really, federal courts have recognized that Title IX extends to gender identity in Wisconsin since 2017. So we're really trying to make sure that these school boards are doing the right thing by their trans and non-binary students. And we're also taking steps right now to collect information from the communities. So if people are seeing their school boards taking actions like the ones that we saw in Watertown, we want to know. We have a tip line, testimony@fairwisconsin.com. It's the easiest way to let us know that things are happening in your community. There are over 420 school districts in the state, so it's a little hard to keep tabs on everything, but we are doing our best to make sure that when we learn of anti-trans actions being taken by district leadership, that we are following up and taking some next steps to try and protect our kids.
So it seems to me like policies like the Watertown one and Title IX are directly in conflict. How is it even possible that a school district can pass a policy like that and it's not considered illegal?
I think it is illegal, and that's why we're submitting these federal civil rights complaints.
And so I was at the meeting on Monday, and a lot of the community members that spoke up cited concerns about safety and privacy. How would you respond to those concerns?
So the updated Title IX regulations that include gender identity, they were made with a lot of thought over 20 plus years of best practices being developed by educators and students and families in schools across this entire country. They were being developed with the idea that these are professionals who deeply care about balancing the privacy of students without sacrificing the safety and dignity of any student, including any trans or non-binary student. There was a lot of thought put into this. There was a public comment period, because these are regulations. And so they went through the rulemaking process. I understand that this is a topic that a lot of people have a lot of feelings about, and I completely invite people to have very respectful and understanding conversations about it. But we definitely need to keep in mind every time we have these conversations that we are talking about children, and we are talking about children who are amongst our most vulnerable, because they are amongst our most marginalized. And we absolutely need to always be centering their humanity. I think a lot, oh, I'm sorry, my earbud just fell out. Can I start over that part? Are you there?
Go ahead. Yep.
I'm so sorry. I think some of that was probably usable. We'll see. I'll try and regain my thought those for a second. So the updates to Title IX that really clarified the inclusion of gender identity, they were done very thoughtfully over the course of 20 years of best practices of educators coming together with families and school administrators to try and figure out what was really best for the safety of all students and the privacy and safety of our trans and non-binary students. These were not things that were on a whim. They are not easily come to. They were very, very thoughtfully brought about through a public comment period and through a rulemaking process. And so I think it's really important that we know that this was a rather methodical, long-term process, that those that balance between safety and privacy was really thoughtfully weighed. And also, we have to keep in mind that the people we're talking about are trans and non-binary kids. They are some of our most vulnerable kids because they are some of our most marginalized. And when we think about the safety and privacy of all kids, we also have to think about the emotional well-being of all kids. And passing policies that target them and that make them even more marginalized does not help emotional well-being and emotional safety. And that is something that we need to put a very high priority on as adults and as educators. And it's something that all of us can really take a step towards inclusion by all making sure that if someone asks us for a different name or different pronoun, that we do it and we respect that and we show that support, because that's an individual action that we could all take, just like a school board could make an inclusive policy that said that as well.
Do you know where Wisconsin stands compared to other states in the nation in terms of these kinds of policies? Are we more or less restrictive than other states?
That's a great question. I can tell you, the big answer is I do not actually know, but I can tell you that when Wisconsin started taking on, between Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE, these joint complaints about Title IX and making sure that our school districts were in compliance, we've been doing it in partnership with GLSEN, which is the national organization, and they are aware of these Title IX violations, school districts being out of compliance in a similar way to Wisconsin and at least five other states. So this is something that is happening in other states. It's also such an odd legal landscape right now, because there is an injunction about the Title IX regulations in many states in the country because of attorney general lawsuits. Wisconsin is not one of those states. We are a state where Title IX regulations are in effect, but it is a pretty complicated legal landscape.
Thank you, Abigail. Is there anything else you want to share on this topic?
Would it be okay if I just shared for a second? There's sort of an elephant in the room every time I talk about Title IX right now, and it's because of the change in presidential administration that's on the horizon. So if it's okay, I'd just like to sort of address the elephant in the room for a sec.
Yeah.
So we've been getting a lot of questions as to whether or not we will continue to be doing this work for Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE, whether or not we'll continue to monitor school boards and receive tips and make sure that if schools are out of compliance, that we file federal civil rights complaints. And the answer is we are going to continue this work. With the upcoming change, of course, in the presidential administration, the fact is we have continued to receive inquiries. And the resounding answer is Wisconsin believes that Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE believe, and it is true, that Title IX protects LGBTQ plus students and staff. We have civil rights, and no matter who occupies the White House, and our organizations are here to make sure those rights are respected. The finding in the Owosso School District Title IX complaint case that was based on Title IX before August 1 really reaffirms the fact that the courts have recognized in Wisconsin since Whitaker v. Kenosha in 2017 that Title IX does apply to LGBTQ plus students. We stand by that, and we're going to continue to file complaints as necessary.
Thank you so much. Anything else?
No, I really appreciate the request for interview. Thank you. Please reach out if there's ever anything. I have a feeling our work will continue to be incredibly relevant.
Yes, and I'm sorry that that's the case, but thank you.
That's why we're here.
Yes, okay. So this story will air Friday night, which you could watch live if you watch TV. I know I don't, so I can send it to you Saturday morning once it's
online.
That
would be lovely. I would appreciate that. I'm sure my parents will hear it. Great. But I will not be watching TV on Saturday.
Okay, great.
Friday night. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.